I'm James P. Friel.
And I'm Dean Holland. It's time to fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls.
That's right. If you're an entrepreneur who's wanting to take your business to the next level and have a bit of fun while getting cutting-edge advice on your business, marketing, and sales, welcome to Just the Tips, arguably the best podcast in the entire world. I guess that's good, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. That was easy. Yeah. That was the easiest thing we did all day.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Just the Tips. This is your host, James P. Friel. I am thrilled that you guys are here with us today. We've got an awesome show lined up for you. And, you know, one of the things that constantly is on so many entrepreneurs' minds is, how do I scale? How do I scale my business? How do I make sure that, like, I'm getting to that next level to where I want to be? And so today we're going to be talking about signs that you're ready to scale. I'm honestly just talking for a few minutes before Dean gets here. I just saw him jumping off his horse. Oh, here he is sauntering into the studio. Welcome to the show. The bearded wonder from the United Kingdom, the one, the only, Mr. Dean Holland.
Woo!
Here we go. Without trumpet fanfare. Yeah. I love that because it's like the DIY trumpet this week.
The budget version.
The budget version. Yeah. Yeah, we're I'm on a skinny studio setup right now, as you know. Just moved to Austin, Texas.
Yeah,
and my my studio and the rest of my belongings are en route. So today I'm coming to you with a lighter touch, which means Dean has a do-it-yourself trumpet.
Well, no, it still sounds very good, and I'm sure people arrive just for our good looks, our humor, you know, just general charisma that oozes out of us rather than the studio quality.
Right. Well, exactly. And one thing that I didn't know before moving to Texas, like we drove the car here, the rest, you know, stuff is being shipped. And the second the wheels crossed over into the Texas border, the rest of my beard fell off and just left this mustache. It was the craziest thing. And then I looked down at my feet and I was already wearing cowboy boots.
Right. Just like every week when we have a show, like, is it just going to develop more of like a handlebar shape and just begin to protrude down?
If I were in charge, I could tell you the answer to that. But the truth is this thing just sort of has a life of its own.
And it's like Austin has it now. Like,
yeah, it's in Austin's hands. There's nothing I can do about it. So I don't know if it's going to go down. I don't know if it's just going to stay where it is. I don't even know. It could potentially, you know, handlebar out to the side. Like, there's
interesting.
Really no telling. We'll just have to see what happens, honestly.
Well, if that's not a reason for everyone to keep tuning into the show, I don't know what is.
I don't know. I'm sure everyone's on the edge of their seat finding out what's going to happen with this mustache.
But how was the move to Austin anyway?
It was
the conversation there.
It was awesome, actually. You know, we broke it up into a few days. I had my bikes on the back, and we went from Boise to a place called Moab, Utah, which is renowned for its bike trails, and it's just absolutely beautiful, like red rocks, mountains, the whole thing. And the morning after we got in there, I went for a 15-mile bike ride before we kept going with the trip. And it was great. And then we drove down to Albuquerque, spent the night with our friends from Lady Boss, Brandon and Kalen. And we had all planned on being in Austin for Memorial Day weekend together anyway.
Right.
So we just all drove the rest of the way together. And it was
nice.
Yeah. It was good. It was a lot of fun, actually.
That is awesome. Time. And what's the weather like in Austin? When I visit, what should I expect? Is this a warm, constant warm place, or is this rain? Or what's
yeah. Happening? So if I weren't afraid to say this, I would say you should probably prepare to not wear any clothes because it's so
warm. Really?
Yeah. But I don't want to put that idea in your head because it might just happen. So, you know, I guess go one upgrade from that, like a toga, perhaps.
Right.
You know, a very light fabric linen type toga, I think would serve you well here.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah.
The temperature here, I guess, is similar to what you might imagine if you were in a spacecraft landing on the sun.
Right. Okay.
That's about where it is.
so just so I get, how does this compare with like Miami? I remember getting off the plane at Miami one time before we were going on a cruise, and I was like, I don't know if I could live here.
Like, yeah, I'd say it's pretty close.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty close to that. The summer months are obviously hot. The rest of the year is, you know, way more moderate. And you know, we did it the right way. We moved right in the heat of summer.
Right.
Just like baptism by fire, literally. But yeah, it's toasty. It's toasty right now. It's definitely in like the mid 90s Fahrenheit. I don't know. You guys are crazy over there with your Celsius, 27, 28, maybe something like that. Yeah, it's warm.
Yeah, that is warm. Well, yeah. There we go. We kicked off with just the travel.
Just the travel, just the weather. Now, just the mustache. I think that's going to be a new segment on the show.
Yeah.
Where it won't even be me, but it will literally just be the mustache.
6 months from now, literally just a giant mustache showing up.
doing his thing. And Yad has already named the mustache. His name is Meacham. And Meacham Floy, he has a first and last name. So at some point, Meacham Floy will just take over the show. And I'll just sit back and eat popcorn and just kind of watch it with you.
Sounds perfect. Yeah. Sounds blissful.
So now that we've dispensed with an enormous amount of bullshit, I wanted to really help people figure out, how do they know when they're ready to scale? Like I feel like there's so many people in the entrepreneurial world who are we scaling yet? We got to scale. Like, is that right? Scalable? How's it going to scale? This whole thing. And I think to a certain extent, a lot of people are talking about scaling without even really knowing what it means necessarily. And so I want to give some advice to people to help them understand, like, well, how do you know if you're ready to scale? What does that even mean for you? And what's up, Narvin? Saying hello in the comments. Good to have you here. And so I think, you know, that's a big topic. I don't know that we're going to like squeeze everything into this show, but I feel like scaling in general is a misused term, or it's overused. Maybe we could say it that way. Right. Yeah. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think, because I've been guilty of this. This is what I'm going to call on my own thoughts of craziness over the years. Like, I think there's almost like a bit of an obsession around scaling and just growing. Like, I want to go bigger and faster and, you know, all this side of things. And because I've said that in the past, like, come on, let's just grow it. Let's just grow. And just been hellbent on this idea of growing, especially when you're in a space or a market in an industry where you know there is a huge amount of scale and growth potential. And I think when you understand that there is potential there almost is a tendency to want to chase after that, you know? And I think I've been guilty in the past of, like, you said it perfectly just when you were just talking there, is like, do you even know what scaling will entail? Like, have you, because if you haven't done it before, yeah, you can think about scaling as this big and exciting thing. But if you've never been to that stage, like, do you even know? Like, are you aware of what has to happen? Or what you have to be focusing on to reach that point? I think it's such a great, great topic. So like you say, I can look at me and think, yeah, I've been hellbent on scale and had no idea what that even means to reach that point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that, you know, just kind of pre-frame this conversation. For me, when I look at a business, I see there's really three phases. There's start, there's grow, and then there's scale. And I see those as distinct from each other. And each one of them has distinct things that you need to do, right? In the start phase, right? You're coming from idea to see whether you can get people to pay you for that idea. Like, how much can you develop an idea into a market, right? How can you create that traction, that initial, like, hey, you've got something, I want it, I'm going to pay you for it, right? And that's a key objective in that startup phase. And we're not really going to get into that so much today. I think we had one of the shows that we referenced on our 200th episode show. If you guys are looking for more startup stuff, go to the episode with Sean Castrina, which I think was a great episode on really how to think about starting. But once you've started something and you've got, you know, some traction going, then this is where I think people, like, okay, cool. People like my idea. Let's scale. And it's like, you're not ready for that at that point. Okay.
Like I made 100 sales. We're ready to go.
Let's do it, right? Let's take this thing to the moon. And I want you to take it to the moon, but you've got to, you can move through the steps as fast as possible. But if you skip the steps, that's when you're going to have a problem. Okay. And so growth is distinct from scale in my mind, because growth is perfecting the model and building the infrastructure that will be required to scale, right? And these stages overlap to a certain extent. But if you'll imagine that, you know, you're going to need to say, okay, well, we've got the five pillars of our business: marketing, sales, delivery, operations, and finance. If you haven't figured out the some of the systems in those areas of the business, when you try to scale, meaning like what is scale really? Scale is adding more volume to what you're already doing, right? It's putting more throughput through your business system. And if you don't have the systems in place yet, then it's going to be very difficult. And there's going to be a lot of, there's just going to be a lot of turmoil, right? more than is necessary. And so that's a key piece of growth, is to say, okay, how do we really finalize the model of the business such that if we add more in, we know what the predictable result is going to be, right? That's the challenge. Yeah. And that's the objective of the growth phase.
And well, I just think, just to jump in quick, I think you've just made a really, really good and nice, clear, just sentence in what you say there about what does actual scale mean to add more volume. Because I would imagine, you know, again, looking at myself, and I think a lot of people would be similar. When we think about the idea of scale, a lot of times that's attached to more money, just increasing the money. Like, let's scale this up and blow up the bank account.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, just that one single thing you've just said there, I think a lot of people that feel maybe that way, and they feel like, am I ready? Like, let's just blow this thing up. Like, I think that one small thought there of like adding more volume into what we already have. I think if people, even just that first piece, just to step back and say, don't just think about blowing up the bank account, more volume in that. Let's think about adding more volume to every component of this business in the way that it currently operates. Like, I think just that one thought there, people might immediately start to think differently about being in a position or being ready to scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you really need to make sure that things are stress tested before you scale, right?
Yeah.
J-Rock here said big boy shorts and clean undies are needed for scaling. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well said. We could just pack up the show right now, actually. I think that summarizes how you know when you're ready, you're wearing your big boy shorts. But but I think the point of, you know, thinking about am I ready to scale is, it's not just about am I excited to grow faster, add more money to the bank account, all these other things. Because I think the thing that most people don't see is the problems that come with scaling. Scaling is not without problems, right? Yeah. You're going to have more customers, which means more problems. You're probably going to have a bigger team, which means more problems. You're going to have like more logistics, more, you know, challenges in every area of the business. And if those areas haven't been stress tested, then how do you know you're ready?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Very true.
You gotta know, like, a, you know, a great example, that I'll use from, you know, your business, if I can, on the cosmetic side of things, is, you know, every e-commerce business is eventually going to have some kind of challenges with their supply chain, their inventory, or something like that, right? And if you haven't thought through, well, how do we deal with supply chain issues? How do we deal with inventory issues? I'm not even just talking about like the cash side of things. I'm talking about, can we actually get the inventory to sell?
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of businesses, especially when you think back last year, people struggling with, you know, major supply chain disruption.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Were like, I can't get my product to my people. Right. And so what's your degree of confidence that you can do these things? Mm-hmm. And I think that in the abundance of excitement that everybody seems to have about scaling, very few people ask the questions, how do I know? How do I know when I'm ready?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, very true. I think, I'm choking.
Excuse us while Dean passes out from whatever's going on there.
It's allergy season here, okay? You got to bear with me. I'm like, shoot, you're lucky I'm not crying. So, no, I think, like, you know, when you just look at this, the cosmetic side of things, you know, I think, because I've got a couple of different businesses, I think one of them is easier to analyze in terms of, am I ready to scale? But I can say that, like, it's not always so obvious in some business models, I don't think. You know, you just said they're like product supply chain. I think that's quite an, you know, somebody with a physical product business, they're, you know, they've got manufacturing or supply chains. I think, you know, the idea of scaling that, I think you would probably easily think, well, okay, well, we need more product. But I think some people that are going to be listening to this probably don't as easily see what areas of their business they need to necessarily look at. So is there a, you know, just throwing this up in the air for us to talk about, is there then some guidance or some things that we can talk about in terms of being able to start to look at these areas then? And what are these key areas that people might need to look at first if they feel that they're ready to scale? They have, you know, gone out to market, they've got some good results, and they've got this excitement in them. Yeah, we've got a winner, we're ready to scale this business up. Like, what are these steps then that people need to be looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the way that I look at everything is these five pillars, right? Marketing, sales, delivery, operations, and finance. And on the e-commerce, the product side of things, you know, the supply chain is part of delivery. But let's say you have a service business. Let's say you're an agency. In fact, I work with a Facebook agency that's growing and making an effort to scale right now. The delivery on that is who's doing the service delivery, right? Who is the person who's actually delivering the thing, making it work, all that sort of stuff. And so in that particular type of business, if you can't find more people to do the job, you're not going to be able to scale. Right. You're not going to be able to just plug people in to scale. Like, think about, you know, McDonald's, for example. Right. So there's McDonald's is, you know, predominantly, you know, a product business, but there's people that are required to fulfill.
Or is it a real estate business?
I don't even know. Right. Mystery. But let's just say that, you know, we take the how to get the hamburgers and the buns and the cheese and everything like off the table. Like, they got that on lockdown. One of the things that's happening right now, actually, here in the U.S., I'm not sure if it's going on for you, is a lot of these, you know, kind of fast food restaurants and fast casual restaurants and even local shops and things are not open all the time, or they're having reduced hours or something like that because people aren't working right now, right? There were like unemployment benefits and, you know, COVID and all this other stuff. And so, so if you don't have the people to do the job, then that's going to be a limiting factor on your skill, right?
Right. Yeah.
If you have a product business and you can't get the inventory, that's going to be a limiting factor on your skill. And that's not the only limiting factor, right? That's like, how do we deliver the thing? But then the other question, if we go back to the five pillars, right? Marketing, sales, delivery, operations, and finance. Well, what about operationally? Like, how are all the pieces being coordinated? And if we just add a bunch of stress on top of the system, what's going to break first?
Right.
And I think that's the way that I look at, you know, being able to grow and scale is, how likely are we to break if we add 50% more, 100% more, double it, triple it, right? And one of the reasons that, you know, like, software companies are able to scale once they get their core thing in place is because adding more people to a certain extent does not necessarily mean we have to do more work, right? We're just like, it's the technology side. So I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I definitely think that doesn't matter what kind of business you're in. You have to say, well, what is the delivery of the thing that people are paying us for?
Right.
And where is the limiting factor on that? And how do we address that?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think, you know, one of the things that's sort of coming out of that for me, because I think it's funny, like sometimes people are thinking about scaling and they probably really aren't yet ready. And not because they're not actually ready, as in they don't have a proven offer. I would imagine there's some people that probably aren't fully clear on their entire process of selling and delivering and, you know, everything involved in what they do to produce the result. I think some people are going to have, in order to assess this and go through what we're talking about, I think some people are going to have to take a step back almost to get really, really clear on A to B on the whole journey of what they do as a business, whatever business people are in, you know, being very, very clear on the steps of everything that takes place. Because I think from what you're saying here, like I'm one of those people, I like to run through, if I was doing this sort of process and thinking like, am I ready to scale? I'm the kind of person that goes through like example scenarios in my head, like theoretical scenarios, as in, you know, in my mind, if I wanted to scale, I'd be thinking, okay, if I'm doing 100 sales a day right now, if we were making 500 sales a day, how might that look? So that I haven't got to go out and do it to find out what breaks. If I'm clear on what I do to sell 100 products a day, if I were to just magically say, okay, 5X everything, what would go wrong? Where would the pains and problems become? But I think I can only do that because I'm very clear on what I'm doing to currently sell 100 products a day. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what would your thoughts be on that kind of process? Does that sound dangerous to you that I would, you know, that's how I would do it? Or is that, you know, a way that you would recommend just kind of theoretically saying, okay, I'm at 100 sales a day. Let's 5X it all theoretically and just see what might that look like. Is that an approach you'd recommend? Or?
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to look at it. And I would just look at it across the five dimensions of the business.
Right.
Right. Yep. You know what? Okay. If I were going to do this, what's required for marketing in order to make that happen? Is it anything, or is it just like uptick in our ad spend? Can we scale our ad spend? Right. Cause that's an issue and a challenge sometimes too.
Yeah.
Is there anything differently that we're going to have to do on a sales side? If I'm going to go from, you know, 100 whatevers to 500, do I have to, hire another salesperson? Are we selling over the phone? Like, how are we selling this? Like, what's our sales conversion mechanism? And can that sales conversion mechanism handle more throughput? You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
Then on the delivery side, we kind of talked about that already, right? Great. Is it, you know, more products? Is the inventory available? Is the supply chain strong? Do we have redundancy in the supply chain? Like on a side note, we're dealing with an incredibly and potentially business fatal thing on the Rose business right now. Because our supply chain was completely knocked out because there's massive political instability in Colombia where we have our farm. Wow. And like we can't even get workers out to the farm right now without them like legitimately like potentially being in a life-threatening situation.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, this is highlighted for me at least. Well, great. Like, where's our redundancy there? You know, if one of our, you know, suppliers, you know, sort of ditches or is unavailable, like we're experiencing right now. And so then, you know, operationally, like what else? How easy is it for us to onboard employees or contractors or the help that we're going to need in order to keep things going? And then the, you know, the finance side really is oversight. But the point that you're making is, yes, what would this look like if it were, you know, 10X, 20X, 30X, whatever? Great. But then look at that across those five different dimensions. And then it becomes the questions that you're asking become more specific,
right?
You know, so that's definitely the way I would look at it with like, you know, kind of giving it a little bit more specificity.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think, to me, what's coming out of this again, just as another side thought, is people, depending on what they're doing, everybody's business model is going to be different listening to this, but sounds like ultimately that before people do go ahead and scale, they want to really have all their ducks in a row, as it were, with the level that they're currently at, right? You know, if you're in a product business, do you have a stable, secure manufacturing and product, you know, development line, you know, because I think a lot of times, again, people fixate so much on just growing the money, the idea of scale. I don't think a lot of times people will often think about the things that you're talking about here. I don't think people, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, let's just grow this thing. Okay, what about the strain on this area, the strain on this? Like nobody's, I don't think, I've been in a lot of conversations about scale and not a lot of, like a lot of the focus just seems to be in that money area, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah, and that's the exciting part. And that's why right, you're doing it, right? Because you want your business to grow. But you also, it, you know, scaling a business prematurely could completely, you know, bankrupt you. It could take the business down. Like there could be major problems if you scale prematurely too. And I don't necessarily think like everything has to be in place. I think you need to have a healthy amount of it in place, but you also have to be going through this critical thinking to ask yourself what's likely going to happen so that we could start preparing for it. Right. Now, just because if I go from, you know, 100 units a day to 500 units a day, and I know I'm going to need more salespeople, for example, doesn't mean I just go out and hire all those salespeople first, but it means that I need to have at least a degree of confidence. Where are they going to be coming from? How am I going to make sure that they're being trained? All these other things so that as we're growing, we're like, we're growing into the plans that we've created. Not just like, oh man, I can't believe all this stuff is falling apart now.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing where I think people get tripped up is they're like, oh man, like everything's falling apart. I'm like, well, like, did you not think about this for 2 minutes beforehand?
No, like, I was ready to scale.
Like, what happens if we're successful?
Right.
Right? Which is a question that I don't think a lot of people ask, right? People are always like worried, like, what happens if we fail? What happens if we fail? Okay, deal with that. You should have a plan for that. Just as much, you should have a plan for what happens if we succeed.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good thing. So, you're right. So many people are like, okay, well, look, let's really try this. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. Because we'll just scale back here. We'll do this. We'll do this. And it's like, okay, I feel comfortable growing now. Because if all goes wrong, I know what I'm going to do. But like, you're right. There's another side to this. Like, what if it does work out? What if it does go the way that you're hoping? You're going into this because you want to grow. You think you're ready to scale. You've done everything to the best of your ability. But like, why haven't you thought about the impact of it going well? Heck, yeah. what if you underestimated your ability to scale when you take the steps you're about to take?
Yeah.
There's a very different side to failing, isn't there? It can be like, whoo, there's another scale.
Yeah. And I think it's because people think there's a tendency for people to think that success comes without problems. Success is solving one problem, but creating another one. Like that's really what happens. You're just like, oh, here's a new problem. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Right. And so nobody's planning for success because they're not anticipating the fact that there are problems that are likely to happen when they are successful. But there are, you know, there's always going to be other challenges and things. And so, you know, you and I won't mention him, but you and I both know somebody, who was growing a business and things took off and the marketing side, the sales side started scaling, but the other dimensions of the business couldn't keep up with it. And they wound up going under. They wound up having tens of thousands of customer complaints, lawsuits, like all sorts of things, right? And if, you know, if you're not stress testing as you go, then you're going to deal with those problems. And I think, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard people talk about like choose your hard. They're like, you know, you can choose to work out every day and eat healthy, or you're choosing to like get sick and be unhealthy, or you could choose this. And it's like, whatever you do, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
So choose your hard, right? Yeah. Just be like man up and pick it. And I think that with scaling, people are hoping that it's no longer going to be hard. And so they don't do the hard work deliberately. But then it just comes and smacks them in the face. And so I'm not trying to scare anybody from scaling here. Cause I think,
we are be afraid.
I am wanting to make sure that people have a clear, just like an honest appraisal of what that means.
Yes.
You know, and really take stock of whether they're ready.
Oh, absolutely. Cause if you're not, like, I can tell you, like, you can end up growing something that you hate. Like, and not only just like talking about things breaking here, but if you haven't thought things through about the impact of scale, and you go ahead and do it, and things work out, and things grow, and you have the capacity, and you know, think everything through. And again, like you say, this isn't to put people off scaling. Like, we want people's businesses to grow. You know, that's a lot about what this show's about, is helping people's businesses grow. But there's definitely a huge side to this whole component of like making sure that you've thought things through, you're planned, you're clear on the outcomes, good and bad, and you go into it. You know, it's like, what do we always talk about? Like going into things with the understanding of what you're going into, you know, not blindly just diving into stuff, is going into stuff with a degree of confidence. We're not saying you have to be 100 out of 100 and have crossed off everything and know everything, but get yourself what, 60, 70, 80% confidence that you've thought things through. And there's going to be unknowns. You know, if you're scaling and doing something you've never done, which I think a lot of times people are scaling for the first time in a business or an industry that they've never scaled into. And there's an element there that you're never going to know it all, but you've got to know some. You know, you've got to be on top of a lot of these things and have at least given it the attention it needs, rather than just blindly, like I've done in the past, admittedly, just been like, let's scale this thing. We've got something that works. Grow, grow, grow. You know, that's a recipe usually for disaster in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think just like getting down to nuts and bolts, you know, going across the five dimensions, you know, on marketing, I would say until you have two reliable sources of customer acquisition, you're probably not to the point where you're ready to scale. You could scale one source of that, which is great, but how are you going to build on one single source, right? Like, you know, I've seen so many times people get wiped out with their Facebook ads, or years ago, everyone got wiped out with their, you know, the stuff they were doing with Google.
Right.
People get wiped out with all these different things all the time. And so it's what is the likelihood that our traffic sources are going to continue to provide us new customers, new prospects and new customers. And you know, you got to figure that out before you're going to say, okay, let's add tons of fuel to the fire, right? Because here's the risk with this. Let's say that you have one reliable traffic source and you're all in on that traffic source, then what you're going to do is you're going to beef up your infrastructure because your sales volume is high because of this one traffic source.
Right.
And then the traffic source gets shut off or disrupted or changes or something. And then what are you left with? You're left with significant expense and overhead that's not supported because you only had one traffic source.
Yeah.
Right. Great. And that's the risk. So it's not like, oh man, you know, because there's going to be people who are listening to this and like, well, you know, we're growing and we're, you know, you can't even keep up with us, and all we do is run Facebook ads. And that's like, okay, that's great if you don't have a significant amount of infrastructure and overhead required to support that. But what happens when you place an order for your inventory that's, you know, $250,000 or $500,000 or something like that? And now your traffic source gets shut off and you're sitting there with $250,000 or $500,000 worth of inventory that you can't move. Yeah. And a team of customer service people and a whole bunch of other things. Like that's some serious stress. Right. Yeah. And so I would say at minimum, you know, get, it's great that you've got one traffic source, get another traffic source. And I'm not just talking about paid traffic here. Traffic is like, how do we get people? Right.
Right.
You know, it could be, I have affiliates like you teach people how to do. It could be, you know, I've got partnerships, integration partners. It could be, you know, I'm really, really awesome at direct mail. It could be like whatever, but where are people coming from? And if the only place that people are coming from is one source of which you're not in control, it's not really a matter of if things are going to become a problem for you. It's a matter of when. And it becomes a magnified problem if you've built an entire infrastructure of your business off of the success that you've had on one traffic source. And that's where you see people who are like, oh, like, you know, I'm cycling as an entrepreneur, right? They're like, oh, I built up that business and then the bottom just fell out underneath me. It's unlikely that the bottom just falls out of things.
Right.
without you like having some hand in the matter, right? That like, yeah. I think the thing that amuses me about that is it's almost a reluctance to take personal responsibility for the poor decisions that you made that led you there. Right. Yeah, but right. that's how people learn, and hopefully you don't do it again. Right. So I think that's like, that's one is you've got to have, two or more reliable traffic sources in that first dimension of the business in order to really be able to say, okay, we're ready to scale. I want to go into the other dimensions, but I'm curious what you think about the marketing side. Yana just commented in the comments. She says, Dean's beard looks extra bushy today. Was the ride in on the noble steed a little rougher than usual? There was very, very first thing that I said when I saw him today. I said, his facial hair sort of went like this and mine went away.
I could fluff this up. Like this is trimmed down.
That's sort of tamed, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's a beast. But no, just on what you've said, I think that's actually perfect. It's funny you say this because that's the situation that we're currently in with our cosmetics business. We literally, we started just with Facebook ads. And right now we still only have Facebook ads, and you're absolutely right, because this is a conversation I've had in the last couple of weeks, because due to, a few little shaky things going on with Facebook right now, our cosmetics business, we're definitely seeing some negative impact of some of the things going off with Facebook through our advertising, and our costs of getting customers have gone up. And already with a business that doesn't have a huge profit margin right now, that's been a real problem for us, and one of the things I've been saying is like, it's a bit of a pain in the ass that we only have this one source right now, isn't it? Because we don't know, is this only Facebook? I'm literally flying blind right now because I have no other point of reference to look at from things we're doing. We've pinned ourselves in right now with this one source. And it's like, yeah, we've been trying to grow with this one source. So not only do I agree with you, I'm living it right now. You're absolutely right that is a dangerous way to go into scaling the business. Things happen. And as much as we're talking, this whole conversation about a lot of times getting in control and having clarity and all this stuff that we're talking about, but you don't control every element. When you are using third-party things as a part of your business, like Facebook or Google or whatever, for your source of traffic, you can't remain ever at 100% in control of that. You are in some degree at the mercy of these platforms. And that's just a component of it. So if you only have one platform and something untoward happens to go off, it might be, you get your ad account shut down. It might be something wonky goes off that Apple decides to fight Facebook on data and privacy and go into war. And you're sat back like, whoa, what did I do wrong? Well, in this case, you did nothing wrong other than you put yourself at the mercy of this one place that was fueling your business. So, you're like such an important point. I'm so glad you touched on that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And at some point you are going to be dependent on one thing, right? Early on, right? Like when you're starting, but the idea of the from going from the startup phase to the growth phase to scale, right? The growth phase is where you should be adding the other sources.
Exactly.
It's where you should be creating that redundancy and that stability so that when you do turn on the gas, when like you kind of like open it up a little bit more, you've got something that's resilient. And so that's the idea of the growth phase, but everybody's just like start, scale. I'm like, wait a second, where did we're missing pieces in here. And that's how come many businesses crumble like a house of cards, because they didn't grow. They just started and sort of inflated.
Yes.
And they're hollow. And that doesn't work well over the long term. So that dimension on marketing, then on sales, I think this is just as important. Is like, well, what's your sales conversion mechanism? Like how reliable is that? And how likely is it to be able to withstand the pressure of more volume coming in from your marketing efforts, right? If your sales are strictly dependent on doing in-person events, if anything that anyone should have learned from last year is that maybe you want another sales mechanism in place, right? Like you have to have more than one sales conversion mechanism, just like you have to have more than one, you know, lead conversion mechanism. And so, you know, it's, I think it, that's another thing to say, okay, like, are we really ready to scale? Because again, you could be putting all of your traffic, let's say you did diversify all your traffic. Great. But all of your traffic is going into a potentially limited sales conversion mechanism, right? Like we're overly dependent on just doing in-person events. We've never explored phone sales. We've never explored, you know, online webinars. We've never explored, you know, doing any of these things. The second any of that stuff gets knocked out, now you've got plenty of interest, but you've got no way to convert that interest. And then you're still sitting on the pile of expenses on the backside. So it's a, you know, similar problem, but for different reasons. And that's why, you know, having a level of, you know, at least a couple different ways that we could potentially close people into being customers is helpful. You know, like what would you do if all of your websites went down? Like, would you still be able to sell stuff, right? How quickly could you develop a call floor that could handle some of that volume or something? And I'm not saying again that all of these things need to be in place, but these are the signs of maturity as you go through the growth phase and you're preparing to scale.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, just to point out an interesting thing, because I've definitely, you have so much more experience in these areas than me, that I think one of the things that I love about this conversation for people is if for people that this conversation's right for, you know, meaning the timing is right for people, and the right people will know that this conversation, oh, this is just what I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't understand until you go through and you've tried to scale something for the first time, you actually don't understand how much things can break and these areas, right? It's like you've just said there about the traffic aspect, the marketing aspect. I can sit here now and be like, oh yeah, you're so right. That's such a great piece of advice. 6 months ago, I'd have been like, oh, that sounds interesting. I've not thought about that, you know? And it's only because I'm going through it now. So I think, you know, it's, people, hopefully, the, you know, they're, like I say, the right people are really taking some of this on board. Because it's not, again, I appreciate some of this can sound like, oh, this sounds quite scary. You're trying to put me off scaling. It's not. It's preparing you in the right way. You know, I think that's such an important thing for people to take on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's just like, how do we go into this with our eyes open?
Yes.
Right? Here's what potentially could go wrong. Here's what could potentially stop this from working. How do we improve the odds of success, right? And then be prepared for that success and not let it catch us off guard. You know, third dimension delivery, we kind of talked about already, but you know, if you don't have a clear way of, you know, let's say you're in a service business, finding people, sourcing people who are going to help, plugging them into a system that works for them to be productive and effective, then, you know, you're not ready, right? Similarly, if all of your inventory is dependent on one supplier, you're going to have problems. You know, you should have a couple suppliers. Like who else could help? Who could be on, you know, who could be on, you know, the second string, ready to be tapped on the shoulder if something goes wrong with our primary supplier? You know, and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, there's a theme here that is suggesting that redundancy or the plan for redundancy will help create a more sustainable scaling process so that you can get what you want. But the other thing that we really haven't touched on yet, which I think is just as important, and we'll, you know, we kind of get into the other two dimensions if we want to, but is simplicity.
Yeah.
The more simple your model is and the more simple it is to create that redundancy, the easier it's going to be to scale.
Yes.
You know,
I think we spoke a lot, haven't we, about the beauty, simplicity is the ultimate complexity. No, did I say that the wrong way around?
I think you might. Yeah.
I somehow messed that up.
I think maybe that's not it exactly.
Somewhere in there was something good.
Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication, perhaps.
Something like that. Maybe. Yeah.
Simplicity equals complexity. Everyone's like, I have to think about that a little bit.
But no, like, there is, in my experience, there is always a tendency for people to overcomplicate. And it's not like anybody sets out like, oh, let's really complicate this thing. Let's really make it a mess. But it just seems to naturally happen. It seems to be such the common path is that when we start adding all these, you know, we start adding extra things in, we are adding extra levels of potential complexity. It's like, you know, I look at with our cosmetic side, I think it almost seems like every time we plan out the next product or a new product, it's not just adding like one extra thing, like, oh, it's a product. It's now adding like, okay, the packaging for this thing. It's like so many levels of extra stuff involved from adding one more thing. You know, and so I think, you know, there is going to be that element to this. And I think, to me, I like to keep it simple at the forefront of my mind. Not only am I going to do this thing, but how do I make it as simple as is possible? I think it's a really important part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Simplicity equals scalability. Like,
ooh, there we go. I think that's what I said, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I said that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think, you know, that those are, this is like the conversation. I'm so happy that we had this conversation because one, I don't feel like people are really talking about this and it's just on the billboard of business success. It's all like, here's how exciting it's going to be. And the fine print is all the stuff that is biting people in the ass every single day.
Yeah.
And it's not that this can't be done. Like the last thing in the world I'm here to do is to discourage people from trying to scale their companies. I'm just trying to make sure that people are being thoughtful about it so that their companies last and so that they have companies and they don't want to like run themselves over with their own car because they hate their life so much, you know? Yeah. You know, Einstein said, intellectuals solve problems, but geniuses prevent them. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that statement, right? Yeah. How do we prevent the problems that we know are coming? And it's hard to prevent those problems if you don't know that they're coming, right? Sure. And I think that was, you know, that was sort of the other motivation for having this conversation today is say like, yeah, like make it through the growth phase. Right. And the growth phase is about really narrowing in on that model that, you know, getting the different sources of the customers, converting them to, you know, to be paying customers and, you know, all those things. And there's going to be new things that are popping up that are informing that model. And then scaling is about like, okay, we're really clear. We're really deliberate what we're doing here. And we have some of these redundancies put in place. Like, let's really drive this thing now. And even culturally, you know, we didn't touch on that a whole lot, but culturally, scaling is different than growing. Growing is, I think, for many entrepreneurs, the most exciting part because you're brainstorming with your team, you're collaborating with people, you're like figuring things out. There's just like this feeling of like, you know, let's get it done.
Right.
You know, and scaling is exciting too, but it's in a different way. It's less about, okay, now we're like solving all these new problems and we're figuring things out. It's more like, all right, how do we double down on what's working? How do we, you know, continue to put emphasis on the things that are making the difference? And that will require more systems and process. And many people are like, oh my God, like I don't want to deal with process. Like process scares me. And it's
cool,
like,
call James.
Yeah, you could call me for sure. Because that's really what my middle initial is, right? Process.
Or princess. We can't figure it out yet.
I think we figured it out. I think you're just one of the holdouts that doesn't know. But it's gonna change things.
Right.
Right. In order to scale, you are gonna have more systems and process in place. And if you're resisting systems and process, then you should bring somebody else in who can take the baton and run with it because you got it through the growth phase, which is hugely, you know, challenging and very exciting that anybody makes it through that growth phase.
Sure. Right.
So there's nothing to be like, oh, like I've gone into so many companies where it's like time for them to scale and they're having challenges. And it's because they're not bringing a scaling mindset with them. They're bringing the growth mindset. And the scaling mindset is like, okay, we need to like strip out inefficiencies. We need to create more process. We need to make sure there's more systems in place. And those people are like, oh man, it's not fun anymore. Like it feels like work. It just feels like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it might feel not fun to you, but for somebody else, that is their fun. So like bring those people in. So I think there's definitely a big cultural impact on scaling as well. And not every team is ready for it. And certainly not every founder is ready for that either. They're like part of the problem in many cases.
Yeah.
They're like, I want to go back to like shooting from my hip and flying by the seat of my pants. It's like, okay, cool. Like gracefully exit this, get somebody else in who's ready to take it to the next level because you built something of value, and then go work on another project and take it through the growth phase. Like if that's what your specialty is and that's what you love, then do that. Nobody says you have to be the person
doing
the whole thing and running the company its entire life cycle.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that a lot. And I think, in my experience, just thinking about it, or the limited amounts of experience I've had, but a few times, I would go as far to say, I don't know if you agree with this, I could just trash the whole episode now in saying this, but I believe that most businesses that reach or are going through that growth phase and they're, you know, the idea of scaling is exciting them, I haven't seen any businesses work at scale in the way they have been working at that stage. Like it literally, like so many things are going to break. Like so many things are going to go wrong in the scale phase.
Yeah.
That again is not to scare people, but this whole conversation that we've been having, like you have to take some of this on board, everybody listening, if you're at that point, because I haven't been able to take a business that was working amazingly well, profitably, everything's running nice, like streamlined, everything's great, and then started scaling it, and it's continued to work in that same way. You know, I've had one of my businesses, everything's worked, other than the fact that, oh, it's now no longer profitable at scale. Mm-hmm. Like literally everything's working well. We're delivering, the whole operation looks smooth, but we're not making any money anymore.
Right.
You know, and like that's just been my experience, is things are going to break at scale, and you're probably not going to be able to predict everything until you get there, but you can be prepared. You can go into it, as you've said, James, with your eyes wide open, but go into it understanding that like what we've built probably isn't going to work in this same way when we try and push things forwards. Is that something that you would agree with, or am I kind of
breaking? Yeah, absolutely. It's a different ball of wax. And, I talk to people a lot, you know, in those five dimensions of, you know, whether they're at red, yellow, or green. And when you're scaling what used to be green, you know, where you had systems that were working, producing consistent results and all that, and you start growing past that certain stage, it's not going to be green anymore. It's going to drop down, and the systems are going to need to be recalibrated and updated, and people and roles and things might need to change. And so there's so many moving pieces and parts that to think that things aren't going to break as you scale, I think is really, really naive. It's just, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, the fact that there are things that need to be addressed as you're growing and scaling is as it's supposed to be. You're not doing anything wrong because things are breaking. You're doing things wrong by not paying attention to them.
Yes. If
you know, you're doing things wrong by not thinking about what's going to break.
Yeah.
But the things that are breaking is like, yeah, this wasn't built for scale. This was built for growth to refine our model. Now we have to build something for scale.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I know we've not got long left before we round up, but I've recently read this book by Mark Randolph, the guy that co-founded or started Netflix.
Mm.
He's got a great book. It's called That'll Never Work. And he talks about this. You know, he talks about how they first began Netflix and how he was saying, you know, what they first created, they knew very early on, like what we've built is never going to work if we try and grow this. But they wanted to prove their concept, the concept of the business ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up right now. Yeah. Go ahead. Dean's got to take a call. He's been waiting on for days. So we're going to wrap up right now, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you being here. If this was useful or you've got any questions, just drop them in the comments here on the YouTube channel that we have. And we appreciate you guys. We will talk with you guys next time. See you, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Just the Tips, where we believe business should be profitable and fun. For show notes, links, and other information on our guests, visit justthetipsshow.com. For more information on how to connect with Dean Holland, visit deanholland.com. And if you'd like to go from being a hustling entrepreneur to an effective CEO capable of running your company without being stuck in the day-to-day, visit me for free training and resources at jamesbfreel.com. Our theme music is Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.